Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast, where we interview city leaders around the world. I'm Stephanie Weber. And today with us, we have Chris Goff for our part two of our conversation. Chris is from Seattle. He's with the organization Light Up the City. And last time we got to hear about how Chris got started in the City Gospel Movements up in Seattle and the amazing things that are happening because of the work that they are doing. Chris, it's so nice to see you again. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, great to see you again, Stephanie. It's fun to be back.
Last time we talked, we got to hear about the networks that are happening in Seattle and also the school partnerships. It just sounds like God is really on the move. You know, one of the things that we say here at the Plow Association is that City Gospel Movement work is tough. It's rogue warrior type of work because you really are blazing new trails. And, you know, we really want to celebrate those things that happen for people. And so could you share with us maybe a moment, a time, a situation where you really had to take a risk and see if it paid off because you just, there wasn't any other example of doing that?
Yeah, I mean, there's quite a few. In some ways, I feel like the whole thing is kind of a risk, right?
Like, for sure.
Like, can we actually do that? In fact, when we started our Light Up the City Network, we wanted to do it with some permission or with some blessing from local leaders. And at one point, one of our pastors was like, will you please stop apologizing and just go do it,
you know?
And that was kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, we can go do it. But there's a number of initiatives that we've tried and some work and some don't, and we don't always know which ones are fruitful anyways in terms of God's kingdom. But there was one thing we had a lot of hesitancy around or just nervousness around, but there was a church split and there were sort of people on both sides of the aisle. And a lot of people had left this church, but we thought, you know, there is this local network where this congregation is, and maybe it would be helpful for us as kind of that neutral third person to call people together to pray for this church, like kind of for who's left, you know, at this church.
Right.
And so this church was more on the conservative side. Well, we reach out to some congregations who are kind of all over the map, and there was this great response, and we had about 10 pastors who were all, I mean, literally all within a mile or two of this congregation get together. And this local pastor who we kind of asked him, hey, can we come pray for you? You know, and we still believe God has a lot for this church to do in the community. We still believe that God has blessed you in leadership. And we were really surprised at two things. One is we were hoping we wouldn't cause more fracturing and more disunity, you know, or a format to come and kind of complain directly to this leader. But actually what happened was all of these local congregations came together and this pastor gathered his staff, his elder board, I mean, the janitor, like small group leader, like all of these people, all of this leadership from his church were there and these local churches prayed for them, walked around the building, prayed for the building, and just this response from this church that was so broken, you know, and so many families had left. And then there was kind of this moment where other congregations were saying, when families come to us from you, first of all, we'll ask them if they need to go back. And secondly, the families that are coming have been prepared well, like you've done well. And like, in other words, even the people who are leaving, you have blessed you. And it was just this moment of huge encouragement for this local congregation. And the people who were there, you had Lutherans and Methodists and Foursquare and AG and, you know, just all of these people, a Catholic priest and, you know, just all of these.
A grand mix.
Yeah, just this total potpourri of the body of Christ. But they were rooted together because they're working in the same vineyard, right? Like these are co-laborers in the same vineyard. And there was something magical that happened at that. And I'm so glad that we kind of pulled the trigger on it because we really felt like it could cause more divisiveness. I don't know why. We had a lot of fear. And it definitely ended up being a huge blessing to everybody involved.
And what a great model to show people how to do something like that.
Yeah, totally. And what's great is that tightened relationships so deeply in that part of our city. This was in West Seattle, which is kind of a bit of an island almost anyways. It's this peninsula, but it tightened relationships really deeply. And that tends to be one of our stronger networks now just because the relationships, you know, just like any other relationship that we have, like the relationships have gone through something together, you know?
Right.
Like they've weathered a storm. And so there's a depth to that group that is pretty beautiful.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great story of a win. Something that we always kind of joke about here is nobody talks about the epic fails. So,
yeah. Well, it's because we don't have any.
Okay, sure. Yeah. Well, then I guess we're done.
Yeah, exactly.
But if you can reach deep back into your memory and, you know, we want to celebrate those things as well.
Right.
Only because we know that those things are oftentimes the very thing that gets us to our next win. And so we don't want to be afraid to say the things that didn't work. So if you would be so kind as to share with us something that just went south.
Well, you know, I've just been learning about the human brain, and it's actually designed to block this stuff out. So,
But
there's plenty of examples of things that did not work out well. But what, you know, one that comes to mind is I mentioned in our last conversation, church school partnerships, and one of our highest need school districts is the Highline School District, and we had started this church school partnership effort in the Seattle School District. I mean, obviously, this is the biggest district in the state, 100 schools, and the superintendent has asked us to get a church partner for every school in the Seattle School District, has asked us to cover every school in prayer. And I mean, this was an amazing thing that happened a couple years ago. And so we thought, well, let's do this with Highline because this is a high need area. So we went and met with the superintendent, and they actually had someone on staff that was kind of a community relations person. And she's amazing. She's still there. In fact, we have a meeting with her in a couple of weeks. But we kind of promised big, you know? We kind of went in and said, hey, we have this huge network of churches, and we do all this stuff, and here's what's happening in Bellevue and in Seattle School District. And, like, we want to come to Highline. And they got so excited. The superintendent is pumped about it. The community engagement person is pumped. Principals are excited. And then we realized that we could not back up what we were saying.
Overpromised.
Way overpromised. And so we have this huge meeting that they put together. I mean, they brought meals in. Highline School District is putting this on. The superintendent's there. They had all these people there, the head of facilities and all, you know. And we had two congregations come. And it was kind of this meeting where we were kind of sitting there. And so is this everybody?
Oh, no.
Should we begin, you know? And it was this idea that, yeah, we believe in the model. We know what could happen, but we hadn't done our groundwork. Like, we hadn't gone and asked if there was an interest in local congregations, a sense of calling from local congregations. We hadn't gone in and sort of done our homework. We just figured, hey, we had success in Seattle, so all we have to do is hit repeat, and the same thing will happen in Highline, you know? And we continue to work in Highline, and actually the district has been amazingly gracious to us. And like I said, they're hosting another meeting, and we're still working on it. But that was a big failure, and so we continue to try to kind of dig out of that hole. But fortunately, they're still at the table, so that's a grace.
Well, and you keep showing up, so that's the most important thing, right?
True, yeah, true. Except for our hope is to really honor the local church, and so when we put the local church in a position that we look good and they don't, that's almost like a double whammy.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
good point.
Because our intention isn't that Light of the City looks good. Our intention is that Highline Community Church looks good, or Lake Burien Presbyterian looks good, or, you know, these different congregations in the city. And so it was also kind of humbling in that way. Like, we could make ourselves look good sort of at the expense of the local church, but that's a loss to the kingdom of God.
Oh, that's great. Thank you for that humility, Chris. I think those are things that we all need to be reminded of, that when we hold these things open-handed with humility, that's when the real work can happen. But
totally.
When we want to step in and take the lead, oftentimes it does go south when that happens.
Yeah, and I think it's related to this concept, and I've heard lots of people say it in different ways, but you can kind of only move at the speed of relationships or at the speed of trust. And we kind of led with a program concept and kind of went out and realized that we couldn't back that up with relationships in the community. So, yeah.
Well, that's a great share. Thank you. So one last thing, Chris, is oftentimes we'd hear about great advice and people who've given us great advice. Would you be willing to share just either advice that you would have for other City Gospel movement leaders, or a piece of advice that you have received that's been very impactful over your time at Light Up the City?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like all I am is a collection of advice from other people, and the Plow organization has been huge in that. Kevin has been an amazing a mentor for me and many others around the country and locally in our own city. You know, I think one of the big things, there's a guy, Phil Butler, who's kind of a wizard at networking. He wrote a book called Well Connected that you should have if you're doing this work. You should just have it and you should read it. But one of the concepts in that book that's been so helpful for us, and actually, had we used this in this Highline example, we would have saved ourselves a lot of trouble. But he said, you know, anytime people come together, they end up with this big vision. And then with the big vision, they take this big action, you know, like we're going to get a church school partnership for every, you know,
right,
every
right.
school in the world.
Big ideas.
Yeah, big ideas, and then a big action. And then what happens is you only end up with 10 church school partnerships. And there's a sense that, like, you know, this group really wasn't that great. I never really did trust that person. I knew this couldn't work here. And there's the sense that a partial success leads to kind of declining hope and declining vision. What Phil Butler says is that's the critical mistake is the big action. And he said, take your big vision, and he calls it a limited achievable outcome. So it's like, take your big vision and do the smallest thing you can think of. Like, we have this huge vision of having a church school partnership for every school in the county. Let's go meet with one principal, with one pastor who's willing, and see what happens.
Very tough, you know? For a visionary.
Very tough, yeah. So it's like, how do you do that tiny little step? And he said, what happens is, not even a successful meeting, just a meeting, you know, like, so you limit that outcome to the smallest denominator you can. And what happens is you can do that. You can set up that meeting and that can happen. And then what happens is there's, instead of a declining hope for the group and for the vision, there's an inclining hope for the group and for the vision. And so you slowly kind of build something instead of kind of slowly break something down. And so we've used that in so many different ways. And like I said, had we used this in Highline,
right.
Instead of going for the big action with the big vision, instead of choosing that limited action, I think that would have saved us a lot of problems. And so we use that all the time. I mean, I feel like I say it too much, you know, like, okay, but what's the limited thing we can do? That's a great response. How do we make that response even simpler, even smaller? So at our advance event, which is where we pull together our key network leaders about once every year and a half or so, that's the goal of the whole event is like, okay, City of Renton pastors, what's the one small thing that you feel like God is calling you to do to advance the kingdom in Renton? And some of those groups, I mean, some of their responses are great. They're like, we're going to have a meeting to talk about this one thing. And that's great because that's actually how things move forward, I think.
That's great that you've been able to not only internalize that advice for yourself, but then you're able to facilitate that out to other groups that you're working with.
Yeah, it's super transferable. You know, it comes with a nice diagram that you can do on the whiteboard or whatever. But I do, I mean, so here's your limited achievable outcome, Get Well Connected by Phil Butler. I really think it's a significant book for anybody who's doing any sort of networking. It's a beautiful collection of wisdom from somebody who's doing this a long time.
Well, super. Well, that's great advice. I'll take it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Chris. This has been an incredible time of just hearing what God is doing in and through you up in Seattle and Light Up the City. If you want to hear more of what Chris and his group is doing, you can go to lightupthecity.org. And if you want to follow what we're doing here at the Plow Association, citygospelmovements.org, or you can follow us on social media, City Gospel Movements.